Sinners and tax collectors, draw near Jesus to listen to him. The bad crowd likes Jesus. And Jesus welcomes their company. He enjoys them. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. The religious leaders complain and grumble and accuse. But their comment does not reveal a flaw about Jesus. It reveals the grace of Jesus, his acceptance, his love, and his forgiveness for those who are lost. The scribes and Pharisees at this time are standing outside. They're looking in to what is going on, to this miracle. The eternal Son of God communing with sinners. He breaks bread with them. He speaks to them encouraging words. The religious leaders can only witness this party from a distance. They've excluded themselves from this table of fellowship. They're not part of the conversation. They have not eaten even a crumb from that table or taken a sip from that cup. But Jesus has compassion and mercy and love for all people. That's the surprising turn of the story, because it includes even the judgmental and proud, these Pharisees and scribes. He tells them three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. This morning we hear the first two parables. It might be liturgically correct, but I think we miss the beauty of this text when we lose the context here. We have to wait until March 31st, 2019 to hear the other half of these parables. That is, unless we go home and read them for ourselves, which I encourage you to do. The shepherd leaves the 99 in the first parable to find the one lost sheep. It really is a bad farming practice to leave 99 sheep unattended to go after the one. Sheep go astray. Sheep need constant care and attention. They need guidance. They are, by nature, prone to wander. They hardly know the danger that they get themselves into. Sheep lose their way. More accurately, sheep get lost to themselves. They don't know the way back. They need someone outside of themselves to bring them back and pick them up. They need a good shepherd to revive their soul, to lead them to green pasture and to the still waters. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, the prophet Isaiah says. Each of us has turned to his own way or her own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity to fall upon him, the suffering servant. Rejoice with me, the shepherd says, for I have found the sheep that was lost. And when Jesus says this in the parable, he is no doubt looking straight into the eyes of the Pharisees and scribes, saying, rejoice with me. Pharisees and scribes over there, I'm sitting at the table with these sheep that had lost their way. Don't stand back there sour and critical. Rejoice with me. Join the celebration. What a gracious and merciful invitation to people who don't deserve it, just like us. The woman who had lost 10 silver coins, or one of her 10 silver coins, tears her house apart looking for that lost coin. Again, it's poor economics. But when she finds it, she wants to spend it on her neighbors. She invites them into her space. She brings outsiders into her world. She loves her neighbors by bringing them into her home to celebrate with the same words, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." The third parable is of a human being of countless worth who wanders away like a lost sheep and tears apart his home by robbing his father of his inheritance. It's the same refrain again, "Rejoice with me," but played out a little differently. The father pleads with the son to rejoice and join the party. But the older son will not go into the home. He will not go to the table, eat the fatted calf, or raise a glass to God in thanksgiving for his brother's homecoming. This morning, Jesus gives us a beautiful picture of the gospel ministry. God welcomes sinners and eats with them. This is the work of the church. This is our work as the body of Christ, to rejoice with God, to worship over every individual who experiences life transformation. That's what it's all about. "I'm telling you," Jesus says, "look, I'm serious. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It just takes one wayward soul to change his or her direction toward life to start a party in heaven. So how can we just stand there with our judgmental attitudes looking in? How could we be like the scribes and Pharisees? Gloom and doom. It may sound ridiculous, but our biggest fans are around the throne of God right now in all of their glory. Our biggest cheerleaders cannot wait. They're chomping at the bit to give a shout out to God when he brings a lost soul on the right course of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Who are we not to join that party? The real punchline in these parables, in these words to the scribes and Pharisees, is this. Jesus finds a way to turn the tables around on them. And he identifies their pride, their religious arrogance, and their self-righteousness. They are the ones who have wandered off and are lost to themselves in arrogance, pride, and self-righteousness. They are the ones being called out to come in and rejoice and join the table. Jesus is welcoming these notoriously sinful Pharisees and scribes to find their way into the true and real world of God, the kingdom of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and redemption. I wonder if one of those Pharisees wasn't the formerly known person named Saul, or somebody like him. In our reading from 1 Timothy, Paul, now named, describes how he was lost in blasphemy, persecution, and violence. He was proud. He was conceited, self-righteous, even calling himself an ignoramus. Those are his words. And even more than that, since he knew his own heart better than anyone else's heart, he could call himself the chief of sinners, a number one sinner. "This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance," he writes, "that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to seek those who are lost, of whom I am foremost," he says. It was Saul who became Paul. It was Saul who was judgmental, who joined the celebration. And God brought him back on his strong shoulders as an example, he tells us, to celebrate and give glory to God, along with all the sheep and the coins that are lost. So that when we or others around us wander off and go astray or are lost to ourselves, as we are prone to do, we know that we are never lost to God. He is there to bring us safely home. And He invites all the creatures in heaven and on earth, angelic or human, to celebrate His renewed relationship with us, the one who seeks and finds the lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.